This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Z Live Off the Record with Chevalgo Lang is sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic, Island Pay, Fidelity Bank, Bahamas, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, and Scotiabank.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chevalgo Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel
612.
The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has concluded its Article 4 consultation with the Bahamas. It's 2022 Article 4 consultations. I want to mention a couple of things about this. First, let me say this. The Bahamas, Bahamians, many Bahamians, not every, but many Bahamians, uniquely tend to see the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, as a boogeyman. Okay? And that would be because many Bahamians would have heard of the IMF by virtue of its intervention in countries whose economies had lapsed or collapsed. And so what they know of the IMF is that they swoop into these countries whose economies have collapsed and force those countries to take hard measures in order to get themselves back on track. So the narrative in the minds of many Bahamians is the IMF is a boogeyman that comes in, forces you to do things and kills you and destroys you and takes away your sovereignty and that kind of thing. And I have no interest in even trying to dispel that or argue with anybody about that today. So if you want to argue about that today, I'm happy to hear your thoughts. I'm not arguing with you about that. But the International Monetary Fund is a Bretton Woods institution. Following World War II, it was one of the institutions established by the more developed countries of the world to try to maintain some international order. There was the World Bank, which was responsible for reconstruction and assisting in impoverished countries. And then you had the United Nations, which was supposed to assist ensuring that there was an opportunity and a platform for countries to negotiate with each other as opposed to go to war right away. And then there was the International Monetary Fund responsible for ensuring the stability of the global financial system, which undergirds all the trade that happens in the world. Because if that system collapsed, it would be near impossible to have the kind of fluid and productive trade that happens in the world. And so where the IMF sees that a country's currency may be headed for collapse, it offers itself to those countries to be able to assist them in preventing that collapse or in rectifying the collapse that happens. The International Monetary Fund is owned by the countries that are members of the fund, including the Bahamas. It is funded by those countries that make subscriptions to those countries, annual subscriptions that creates the budget for the IMF. So America and Canada and Germany and Haiti and Russia and all of them make contributions to the IMF. Their central bank governors serve as the governors on the board of the IMF. So our governor, John Rule, would be a governor of the on the board of the IMF. So and the governing body of the IMF, that board is the decision-making body of the IMF. So, and John Rule is our governor on that board, and the Minister of Finance, our Prime Minister, is the deputy governor on the board. So the governor of the central bank is the governor, and the deputy governor is the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance. So they are on the board. So when they have their annual meetings, they're the ones who are going to vote for this and vote for that to happen the next thing. So the notion that there is some power out there going around swooping up nations and stuff like that is just plain wrong. Now, the IMF as an institution that's made up of people, technocrats, over the years have made mistakes, just like our prime ministers and ministers and parliamentarians and you yourself have made mistakes over your lifetime. And they've learned better ways of helping countries in their economic development, economic stability, et cetera. And so, you know, but they're not perfect even to this day. But in an effort to help prevent issues, they carry out these consultations with countries. And that's what they're called. They're called consultations. So which means they come into your country at your allowance. You don't have to let them in. You can tell them, is it a hell of a job? Don't come inside my country. I don't want you here. The government of the Bahamas could tell the IMF, do not come in the country. It's a sovereign country. Do not come here. I don't want no consultation from you. Don't come here. The government could say that, but it does not. Every year, it allows them to come in. What do? They have talks with the government. They have talks with the opposition. They have talks with the private sector. They have talks with the universities. And they want to get as much information as they can about your economic circumstances. They talk with the central bank, and they try to get an assessment of where things stand. Following upon that, they make an assessment, and they make recommendations. They give their assessment of where you are. And for the last 15 plus years, they have been giving us the same set of assessments, basically. Basically the same set of assessments. Oh, new news. So they finish their consultation. And in their executive board summary, they say the Bahamas is experiencing a tourism-led rebound. That is true. The economy expanded by almost 14% in 2021 as net tourism receipts tripled to 2020. Strong recovery is expected to continue into 2022 with real GDP growth projected at 8%. The war in Ukraine, which adds considerable uncertainty to the outlook, is expected to affect the Bahamas primarily through higher commodity prices. Staff expects, that is the IMF staff, expects average inflation to increase to 6.75% in 2022, which is substantially higher than we would be accustomed to. We normally have inflation around 2%. And they say, and to only gradually decrease as supply chain constraints wane. The IMF said the pandemic has deepened medium-term growth challenges and public finances have deteriorated. We know that to be true. Says the young experienced significant learning losses, meaning our school children, and employment will take time to recover. They say additionally, there may be lasting effects of the pandemic on travel, shifts in technology, and climate risk. They say the new administration has pledged relief through tax cuts and increasing outlays on investment and education. However, with public debt close to 100% of GDP amid elevated financing costs, there is limited room for maneuver. That is absolutely true. Says the government seeks to rebuild fiscal buffers over the medium term. The fiscal deficit is expected to halve this year to about 6.75% of GDP. That's still extremely high. The authorities plan to achieve a medium-term fiscal surplus of 1.5% of GDP, mainly through tax collection enhancements to reduce public debt to the target of 50% over the next 10 years. Says the central bank continues to focus on preserving the peg to the US dollar and phase out the pandemic-related capital flow management measures last year. The banking sector has strong capital positions, and the expiration of the pandemic-related loan moratoria led to only a small increase in non-performing loans. Says the current account deficit improved to 19.7% in 2021, not surprising, in line with the tourism recovery, but is expected to remain elevated in the near term given import price pressures. International reserves remain at a comfortable level, boosted by the IMF's new general allocation of SDRs, or special drawing rights, last year. And this is their assessment. Executive directors agreed with the thrust. Now, let me help you all again. So you see, they say executive directors agreed. Now, you know who those executive directors are? They are people from within the region, each region, the Latin American region, the Caribbean region, et cetera, the European region, the Asian region, all on rotation. That's who they are. They know, these are people appointed by governments, your government. So the Bahamas wouldn't have a person every year, but the Caribbean has a person every 2 years or so. And so we rotate them. So I don't know when the Bahamas this year comes up, but when the next time the Bahamas this year comes up, the prime minister would be able to appoint somebody as executive director. Says executive directors agreed with the thrust of the staff appraisal. They welcome the strong economic rebound supported by the authorities' decisive policy response and the recovery in tourism. Directors cautioned that downside risks to growth persist, and that is true, including from rising inflationary pressures and pandemic-related uncertainty. In that context, directors stressed the need to safeguard the recovery, preserve debt stability, and promote sustainable, inclusive, and diversified growth. Directors emphasized the importance of rebuilding buffers and ensuring debt sustainability in the context of a medium-term fiscal consolidation plan, noting that sizable financing needs are likely to persist. Directors also encouraged a more robust debt management strategy. They commended the authorities' efforts to enhance revenue administration and stressed the need for a meaningful tax reform and expenditure rationalization to create space for health, education, and investment spending, as well as targeted support to the most vulnerable. Reforms of state-owned enterprises and pensions, as well as improvements in fiscal transparency and accountability, would be important steps to help strengthen credibility, and they go on and on. All of this stuff. You could read consultation after consultation outside of the specific references to the pandemic. Most of that stuff are things the IMF has been indicating to the Bahamas over and repeatedly. So again, no new news, but useful information, useful technical assessments, third-party assessments, and that's how we should see it. We should see it as we have some people who are not hired by us politically, who do not fund us, who are not vested in any particular party or in special interest, but who have an interest in the stability of our financial circumstances, our financial system, and can come in with their experts, having listened, having observed, having watched and read the data, and to be able to say to us, here's what we have discerned, and here are some things that we think you can do. Now, when the IMF's team, the staff, comes in and does their consultations, they have this report, as I said, to executive directors. Who are they? They are people who have been appointed by the countries that are the members of the IMF. These your people. Your people, if you mob the IMF, you got to get mob with them too. They agree with the IMF about what is happening and what is proposed. If they don't agree, they can say so. And the staff report will have to either be modified or reflect the fact that they do not agree. And so I think it's useful information. If I'm the Ministry of Finance, you take the stuff on board. Some things you may agree with, some things you don't agree with, but you look for where there is useful guidance and information in what the IMF staff has done. And the Minister of Economic Affairs would just have come back from meetings at the IMF to discuss the Bahamas' outlook and situation. So again, no new news for me, no stunning revelation for me. I saw the news about how much the pandemic and Dorian cost us, but anybody who was listening and following those things could add the numbers up and would have seen we were around $4 billion in losses and what have you. So, you know, and that's a big deal, right? That's a big deal. That's a lot of economic opportunities lost. That's a lot of economic activities lost, lots of profits and all that kind of thing that could have made our situation better off than it is today. But again, no big surprises. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, I have a question to ask you. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Babe, you moshed the car?
I ain't moshed the car. The lady who ran into me moshed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Fidelity. I used to think of the bank as my Pearl ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Golang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. So here's my question to you. How is the Bahamas doing economically, fiscally speaking? How is the Bahamas doing? How is it? Is it in good shape, bad shape, okay shape? Well, how's the Bahamas doing? Is the fiscal situation in good shape, bad shape, or in between shape? How is the Bahamas doing? And if you know how the Bahamas is doing, how do you know it? Like, what is it that tells you it's doing okay, it's doing bad? What tells you that? And then finally, where'd you get that information from? I'm going somewhere with this. Where did you get the information from? So the first question is, how's the Bahamas doing? How's the government's finances doing? And secondly, how do you know how it's doing? Like, what are you looking at that tells you it's doing good, bad, or not so good? And where did you get that information from? Somebody help me out. And we, y'all ain't gonna make me talk all day, and nobody can talk back to me. Let me know. I'm waiting. You want me to give you the questions again? How is the Bahamas doing? How do you know? What are you looking at to know that? And where you get that information from? Okay, I'm watching my phone here. I'm watching to see if the producer tells me that I have any calls. So I'm waiting to hear. I imagine I should hear some people because you guys have an opinion, a view about many things, and you are quite willing, and I'm grateful for it, to express. And I'm learning something. I want you all to know. My name is Shabab Golang, and I'm 54 years old. And I want you all to genuinely know that I'm learning something. Like in the course of my life, like, if somebody said something that I had information that suggested it was wrong, like something inside of me, especially depending on how they delivered the information, they delivered what they said, I kind of really got fired up to refute it, right? But I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm learning that that's not the way, honestly, seriously, right? That's not the way. Like, the better way is to listen to what people say, kind of try to appreciate where they are coming from, understanding it, really understanding it. The information might still be wrong, but trying to come to understand where they are coming from, and not so much to try to set the record straight as see if you can make available to them information that they might take on board. They don't have to. You can't get upset with people, they don't take it on board. Right? That's what we do. We are, some of us, like, we're not trying to be mean. We're not trying to be arrogant. We're not trying to be defensive, or we're not trying to be argumentative all the time. But that's what happens when you don't allow people space to hear you and to decide that they're going to take on board what you say, or not going to take on board what you say without getting defensive or upset. All of us listening to you.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm okay, and I'm waiting for the answers to come in because I myself trying to figure out how the country's finances is doing.
you don't have an answer?
No, I don't. I'm waiting for the person to call, you know, because I want them to know you're not the only one who's curious. You know, I the way I see it, I assume it's doing okay. And the reason why I say that, my information for me comes from the fact that I see a lot of traveling going on by the ministers and the prime minister. So that gives me the assumption we're not doing well, but we're doing okay enough, But outside of that, I need some people to call in and give some information because I want to know myself.
So you and me waiting. Well, let's see what happens.
Yes, I'll wait.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling. All right, so I have a text here says, good day, not sure about the government, but the economy appears to be getting better. I estimate this from two things. One, during the pandemic, I received more Bahamian dollars than US. Now it's the reverse, okay. Two, in my business, people went from paying in smaller bills. Now I'm seeing larger bills more frequently, okay. And spending more per transaction, I am on the right track with what I'm looking for. I must say though, I am a micro business, no storefront. But no, your anecdotal information could give you an idea that things are better. So that's good anecdotal information. You know, you business people, especially small business people, are a good barometer of what is happening, especially deep down in the economy. So that's pretty good. Thank you for sharing. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. Reference to the $4 billion loss. Can you say how much of that was under the Bahamas control and how much of that was under the Bahamas control? Could we have invested more wisely? What is needed for government fiscal responsibility to be more effectively applied? Oh, good question. First of all, remember, when they are calculating these losses, they are saying, like, if Dorian hits the country and shuts a business down, if that business would have ordinarily earned $500,000 in that year of Dorian, but did not because of Dorian, then that's counted as a $500,000 loss. If a hotel could not, in Abaco and those in Grand Bahama, take on in tourists, and they would have ordinarily made $20 million in that year or period because of the Dorian hit, then counted as a loss. So none of it is in the government's control per se, none of it, because it's about the natural disaster. It's about the pandemic. You can argue, okay, we could have responded more quickly here, or could have done this effectively, and that may have saved us, but that the bulk of that loss reflects the nature of the shock itself, the hurricane, the pandemic. So a great deal of that was not within the government's control and reflected lost opportunities, lost revenue, lost profits, and homes that could not be restored. These people didn't have insurances. All of those things have taken into account the damages to infrastructure. All of that is taken into account when you talk about that loss. So this isn't something that somebody could have invested. This wasn't about some money somebody invested and then it failed. That's not what that's talking about. This is a broad sweep of things that would have been foregone or damaged during these events. This text says, how would we know as citizens how the Bahamas is doing? We don't have information or reliable information like a fully functional FOIA. Well, your question shows me, one of which is what I'm pointing to. One is, you don't know how to assess how a country is doing. That's what that tells me. Because if you mention the Freedom of Information Act as the means by which you are going to find out how the country is doing, you clearly do not have an understanding yet of how to make an assessment of how your country is doing, economically speaking and fiscally speaking. Secondly, you said you don't have reliable information. That is to one of the points. That's why I ask you, where do you get the information from? But your word reliable means you don't trust the information. That's what that means. Because I'm going to talk to you a little later on and tell you where you can get information to kind of assess what the country's doing, how the country's doing economically. But your own judgment says you can't get reliable information, which really means you don't trust the sources. And when that, Shivago can't really help you. I don't know who can, quite frankly, because that's a judgment you're making in your head, in the space between your eyes. That's the judgment you're making. This text is very difficult to tell because information is not freely accessible. I see, it's another one. However, the business section of the newspaper provides some perspective. Okay, I would be careful because you can get many different stories in the business section. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Yourself?
Pretty good. But the central bank doing reporting. Also,
absolutely,
the Ministry of Finance doing
my
reporting.
Friend. Absolutely, my friend.
Pardon me?
The central, yeah.
So, and then you named the IMF as another source. So that's three indicators right there.
Yeah. And the only question then becomes one of, do you trust the central bank's information? Do you trust the IMF?
Of course. I mean, and then the businesses could see, because, I mean, we've seen increases already. That's the past last year.
Mm. So this person who texted earlier said, you can't get reliable information. So you just told me, rightly so, that you can go to the central bank, and by the way, people, I've done this to y'all before, you can go to the central bank's website, they have publications, it's called a quarterly statistical digest, it gives you a ton of statistics. So you just told me that you can go to the central bank, you can go to the IMF, and so now the question really becomes, does that person think that information is reliable?
Well, I'd say, to be facetious, Cardi B say the numbers don't lie. I'll leave that there.
I appreciate you calling, man. Very, very insightful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. This text says, so we are to dismiss our opportunity to prepare for such disasters. Not that we can stop the disaster, but put ourselves in a better position to reduce its impact. Control as in how much of the loss we could have displaced by preparatory investments. Sorry, I can't even answer that question for you, though. I mean, how am I supposed to know? I don't know. I mean, why don't you make some recommendations? You know, don't get defensive. Just say, you know what, Shivago, I think that if we do this and did that and the next thing, we probably could have saved some of those losses. And you could be right. You know, stronger infrastructure, you know what I mean? Better homes built away from flood zones and that kind of stuff. So you may be right. $100 billion, $1 billion. I don't know. I really don't. I wish I did, but I don't. If I did, I could be one of them people you could pay plenty of money to to give you that information. All right. Says not defensive, just raising the question to think about. Okay, I just when you start a statement off with "so we are to dismiss," when you start a statement off like that, my friend, it's to being defensive. You didn't start by saying, "Well, we wouldn't want to dismiss an opportunity to prepare." You say, "So we are to dismiss." That was your question. And it sounded like a facetious question. I'm just saying, right? Since you're like challenge me in what I say too. So. All right. We got to take a break. And then when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. If you got some text to read, we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Join us on June 8th for the annual RF Economic Outlook Conference, where speakers include Dex Torok, executive at Facebook and Google, John Citaletis, geopolitical consultant to the U.S. Department of State, real tech entrepreneur and blockchain expert, and global innovation strategist Sean Canungo. Registration is now open. Find out more at rfeoc.com.
Play this record as frequently as possible.
Friday, May 20th, it's time to feel good.
It's Star Wars 6 and Four Walls.
Feel Good Friday.
Classic.
The Star 106 Anniversary Edition.
Happening at the Four Walls Squash and Social Club Village Road.
It's the after work.
I got so
early vibes.
Vintage.
Block party.
Exclusively for the grown and sexy.
With the best in throwback classics.
Happening at the new outdoor terrace bar at Four Walls.
Limited tickets on sale now at the Nassau Guardian and Four Walls for $20 in advance.
Come out early to enjoy the open rum bar from 5 to 6 p.m.
This is a strictly cashless party.
So bring your old school dancing moves with your options.
Feel Good Fridays. Friday, May 20th.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad. We had been asking the question about how the country is doing. How would you know where you get information from? This text says, the government of the Bahamas, through the Ministry of Finance, by way of the Minister of Finance, who states the revenues and expenses Also, exterior bodies like World Bank, IMF, Moody's. Very good. Excellent. So again, for the person who don't think that there's reliable information out there, this person says, Ministry of Finance, by way of Minister of Finance, gives you estimates of revenue and expenses and also exterior bodies like the World Bank, IMF, Moody's. Says, based on the recent budgets, we are not doing the best. Okay, see, somebody else has reliable information based on the budgets. Very good. This person says, don't be insulting and presume I interpret what I mean. Well, if you send me a statement that there's no reliable information, you don't even have to be a rocket scientist to interpret that. I'm just listening to what you're saying. So I'm not trying to insult you, my friend. Please forgive me. I'm not trying to do that. This text says economic assessment goes back to reliable information. For example, statistics and many reports are way behind and are not available. You are clearly not aware of what the central bank puts out and what the Department of Statistics or the Bahamas Statistical Institute puts out, my friend. You're not aware because they have recent information, okay? Recent information. Says audits are way behind in many government agencies and departments. Audits? Really? Okay. This text is Mr. Lang, I would say our Bahamas is not doing well economically. I say this because we are still scarily still only dependent on tourism dollars. We are, okay? We are almost $10 billion in debt. The pandemic showed us how easily our tourism industry and businesses can be shut down. Okay, that person. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, good afternoon, how you doing, man?
Yes, sir, I want to make two or three points. One, I don't think any government in the world give a true state of their affairs when it comes to any country.
You really believe that?
With that being said, I think the information is reliable, but I don't think we get the whole information. And then number two, the condition of national insurance tells us the position the government is in financially.
Okay.
So that's what I gather from that report in regard to national insurance financial positions right now.
But let me ask you, don't hang on. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you answer? Do you believe that the government deliberately doesn't give you all the information, or do you believe that maybe it doesn't have all the information?
No, I think deliberately. Reason being because to create, in a sense, if the country finances is not in a strong position, I don't believe the government will be 100% forthcoming with that information to the public.
I see. So if you think that like some parents shelter their kids from bad news, you think the government is sheltering us?
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to create panic, but at the same time, you see hope. So you don't want to give that bad news right then and there. For example, you have a child open to go away to university. The parents don't really sure they're going to find the finances, but they're not going to come right out. But they see that there's an opportunity for them to get that finances by the time they're ready to go away. But they don't want to tell them right then and there, but to create, you know, a panic or a disappointment in a sense. But I feel like the government operate in that sense, and not just this government, I just mean governments on the whole, in every country. They don't want to create a panic, you know what I mean, amongst the population.
So do you think then, which also publishes government information, is working along with the government to not show the true picture?
No, I'm not saying that they're not showing a true picture, but I feel like they hold back. I do feel that they hold back on some information.
Yeah, But what I'm saying is the central bank publishes government information. You realize that, right? They've published like fiscal information, revenue expenditure, deficits, all of that kind of stuff too. So if they are publishing this stuff and it aligns with what the government is saying, then that must mean that they must be working with the government to make sure you don't get the whole picture.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I guess so. I just feel like they ain't doing everything.
I got you, man. I hear you.
I mean, you said an opposition, so I mean, I could be wrong.
I'm reserving my comments till after the news break.
All right, John.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your call. All right, so folks, we're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we're going to keep delving into this question. How's the country doing? Economically speaking, fiscally speaking, how do you know? And where do you get your information from is the question. So stay tuned. We're going to take a news break. And then when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796, so you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We've been asking the question, how's the country doing economically, fiscally speaking? How do you know? And where do you get your information from? We have some text to read. Says, Shivago, put it in a book if you want to hide it from the people. Okay. This text says, a gentleman call is confusing. If we are getting half the information, by definition, it's unreliable. Man, you're really trying to defend this point now. You wouldn't get off that point, boy. Say exactly what I'm saying. He made my point. Okay, so then you're good. If he made your point, you're good. Settle it. This text says, Mr. Lang, the minister, Mr. LaRota said NIB might be depleted of funds by 2028. Do you think this has anything to do with the government giving out NIB funds to people who didn't contribute to the funds because of the pandemic or not being employed? No, I do not. Not at all. Remember, the reports of NIB's fund challenge are more than 15 years old, for years now. So that's before the pandemic. So if that was before the pandemic, it becomes a little difficult to now blame the pandemic for it, right? Because we've known of these challenges long before the pandemic. When I was in office, we had to make some adjustments to NIB funds in light of reports about the challenges to the sustainability of the fund. Okay? So how are we doing as a country economically and fiscally? First of all, right, you have to ask yourself, like, how would I know how a country is doing economically? That's what you have to ask. What what kind of data would you have to know that? That's what you have to have to know it. That's the first thing. So let's look at, if I were trying to find out how a country was doing, economically speaking, most countries, and but in particular the Bahamas, well, I would ask information about its gross domestic product growth. Really? So that's what is the national income of the country doing? Is it growing or is it not growing? All right, that's the first question I'd want to have. You say, well, where would you get gross domestic product growth information from? You'd get it from the Department of Statistics, right? They would give you an indication. Now, the Department of Statistics gives you that information in arrears. So basically, they would give it to you for last year, the year before that, and so forth. So you would only be able to know historically how it is doing. But you wouldn't know in real time how it's doing because we don't take real time data about our economic growth. But the department recently started doing quarterly statistics. Again, you're going to have them, though, in arrears. You're going to have them historically speaking. So they're not saying what is happening today. They would be saying what was happening last quarter, the quarter before that, et cetera. Now, that's good and useful information because chances are, if you have a period of growth, 1, 2, 3, 4 quarters, you know, unless something changes dramatically, you can almost bet it will continue. So for us to know what we're doing in terms of growth, we're talking essentially about a calculated opinion on it. We're talking about an educated guess at it. So we'd look at things like what is tourism doing? Because we can know what that's happening in it, what's happening with that in real time. We can look at things like our foreign reserves and what is happening in that. We can know that in real time. We can look at what is happening in the construction sector because you can go to the Department of Public Works and find out what is happening with building permit applications and completions and those kinds of things. So you can get a sense of from that. You can go to the NIB and see what's happening with unemployment claims, because you can get a sense in real time as to what is happening in the economy from that. You can look at a number of things that together will tell you whether your economy is expanding, stagnant, or depleted, right? And by all accounts, the economy of the Bahamas is growing. And you are the IMF, they're talking growth in to the tune of 8%. 4, 5, 6%, that's good growth. So clearly the economy is growing. Now don't forget, it's growing relative to where it was in 2021, 2020. So those were pretty bad years. Is it growing relative to where we were in 2019? No, because we're not up to the level of economic activity we had in 2019. But clearly, we have enough anecdotal information to indicate to us that the economy is growing. So that's the first thing I would look for is economic growth numbers. I would also then look for unemployment numbers. If unemployment is rising, economy isn't doing well. If unemployment is going down, the economy isn't doing well. Well, we don't know what unemployment is doing per se because the Department of Statistics has not done a household labor survey since the pandemic ensued. So we don't have any numbers. Again, though, those numbers would have only given us probably what was happening in November of last year because they normally do it in May and November. So we wouldn't know, But again, there are anecdotal pieces of information that you can get that gives you some indication of what is happening. For instance, unemployment claims at the National Insurance Board. What is happening with social services in terms of whether they're seeing an increase or decrease or same level of appeals for assistance. You can get information from the labor board in terms of what is happening in the movement of people in their labor pool. So anecdotally, you can get a sense of what is happening. Given that we know the hotels are doing reasonably well and have therefore been taking on new workers and so forth, anecdotally speaking, we can say the economy is doing okay today relative to where it was. So that's another thing that I would look at when you're looking at what is happening in the economy. In the context of the Bahamas' economy, you'd look at domestic credit. What's domestic credit? Well, this is what the banks are extending to people for loan purposes. So are the banks seeing positive movements in lending? Are they seeing declines in their loans, arrears? Are they seeing declines in the non-performing loans? And from the indications we get from the central bank, yes, they are seeing improvements in those areas. So it is an indication that things are better than where they used to be. Am I saying the economy is fantastic? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, what shape are we in now? Relative to where we are in better shape than we were, back then. I would look at the foreign reserve levels and what's happening with the Bahamas' foreign reserve levels. Well, they're not depleting to any significant degree that causes any trouble. But by the same token, now they're not expanding enormously. And here, a little bit of insight into the foreign reserves. And we can get foreign reserve numbers easily from the central bank daily, regularly. This is not something that is unreliable or something that is dated or that something that is, you need an audit for. That number you can get today from the central bank of the Bahamas, no problem, not an issue at all. But here's what's happening. In our country, when we're doing well, your foreign reserves actually go down reasonably. Why? Because if you're doing well, you have more money, you're going to spend it. More spending means you're going to be importing more. And to import more, you have to use your foreign currency to purchase the things you're importing. So typically, our current account actually gets worse when we're doing well. And our international reserves can go down when we're doing well. So the fact that the reserve levels are healthy, they have been experiencing some downward pressure, does suggest that the economy is doing better than it used to be doing relative to where it was. So I look at foreign reserves. I'm not going to go through every particular metric that tells you how an economy is doing. But if you're someone like me who understands economics, there are a number of metrics with real reliable data that you can use to tell you that the economy is what the economy is doing. Similarly, for government finances, the central bank does a quarterly statistical digest. It has updated information about the government's finances. The government of the Bahamas releases monthly statistical information. It tells you what it took in revenue, what it took in expenditure, what its net situation is, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to available to you information. You'll notice I didn't even talk about the IMF. I didn't talk about the IDB, and I didn't talk about the World Bank. Why? They are never going to have more reliable information than the Bahamas Statistical Institute, than the Ministry of Finance of the Bahamas, than the Central Bank of the Bahamas, because these people live here. They don't just fly here. They live here. And oftentimes, the IMF, the World Bank, and those are IDB. They come to us to gather that information. They just use their own processes to process the information. The one area where they have tended to be more, a source of information is on forecasting. because they have forecast models that, you know, people respect. But that's about what is supposed to happen, what is likely to happen, not what has happened. For what has happened, they come to us. In this country, if you want to know how we're doing, look at hotel occupancy levels, right? Hotel occupancy levels. If that can't give you an indication of how you're doing relative to where you were, nothing can, because it is the thing that indicates to you that your largest industry and sector in the country is either growing, not growing, or contracting. And so there are ways to know once you know what you're looking for. So based on all of that, how are we doing economically speaking? On a scale from 1 to 10, I would say a 5 or a 6. Relative to where we were in 2021, 2022, I say a 6 or a 7. Relative to where we were 2019, 5 or a 6, right? So you could say we're doing, in the circumstances, okay. In the circumstances, in terms of what we need to do to soak up more of this unemployment, to put Bahamians in a more prosperous situation, and to relieve some of the tensions that's associated with the high rising cost of things, 3, 4, that's where we are in terms of that. In terms of our potential, 3, 4. In terms of where we were relative to the pandemic years of 2020, 2021, 6, 7. In terms of where we were relative to 2019, 5, 6. That's my assessment of things. Government's finances and where it is on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being very good, I would say the government is around 4 or 5. 4 or 5. Relative to where we were in the pandemic, the government is around 7, 8. Relative to where we were around 2019, 3, 4. You know, so we are in a tense situation, fiscally speaking, and in much need of more relief is what I would say is our circumstances. And you can get reliable information. Well, let me put it like this. Whether you think the information is reliable or not depends on whether you trust your government entities or not. That's the bottom line. Now, I've been in the Ministry of Finance, and I can tell you the Ministry of Finance does not put out information that is suspect, right? Because they know that that information has to be and will be evaluated by international agencies, local investment entities, because, you know, our pension funds and our insurance companies and banks invest in government stuff too, and they have analysts too who have to look at this information. Now, sometimes the ministry can publish information in ways that tells a story they wanted to tell, but they can't hide that story from the analyst. So there's other information the analyst has access to that will tell them a greater story. And it's not that information is hidden somewhere. It's just that, you know, you got to go and look at central bank statistics. You got to go look at the budget reports and these kinds of stuff, and you can get what you want. But as a general rule, it is not true that the government of the Bahamas puts out faulty, fake, or unreliable information. That is not true. Not financial information. That is not true. That's not been my experience. And somebody would have to demonstrate it to me. They'd have to demonstrate that to me before I could buy that as an issue. Not because you say so, because you're sitting there in your home suspecting that, and then I buy it. I can't on the basis of that. This text says, Mr. Lang, I'm not sure if you mentioned this in your discourse on the IMF, but its independent assessment of a country's economic profile is also useful for the fixing of a country's credit rating by international and private financiers. That it's, well, I don't know that their assessment can fix your credit rating, true, because, you know, they are only assessing your credit rating. You can only fix your credit rating by fixing your credit rating, meaning you either reduce your borrowing, you improve your revenue, you reduce your expenditure so you that together you can cut your deficit and that kind of thing, or you do things that help to improve your economic outlook. But just because the IMF publishes information on you doesn't mean that that's going to help your credit rating, okay? So there you are. That's where I think we are economically speaking. If I am Bahamians, I would be cautiously optimistic about things in the near term. I would understand, as the IMF said, that there remain things that can quickly and easily hit us off stride, a major hurricane hit, a rebound of the pandemic in a series in parts of the country and parts of other countries, you know, not just here. If it's the United States has a circumstance in which things get out of control, there could cause a problem. So there are risks out there that could knock us off stride. But for the time being, we have stability, we have growth. And here's where I had a talk with an analyst from South America recently, and I indicated to her that where I am bullish on the Bahamas' future, economic future, is the fact that I happen to believe very strongly that we are not doing enough intentional things to improve our economic prospects. I don't think we are. And so I know that we can do these things, and therefore if we can do these things, we may be able to rev up our economic growth even further. And so the fact that it isn't being done because something is stopping us from doing it, it isn't being done because we're not doing it, gives me more hope for the ability of the Bahamas to rev up its future. We have a text here that says, Mr. Lang, did not the government say $1 billion was missing? Is that false? Well, the government didn't say $1 million was missing. That's not what it said at all. All right, so no, what the government said was that $1 billion was not reported in the pre-election fiscal report. That's what it said. Okay, and depending on how you want to argue that point, they could be right or they could be wrong. Okay? And that was what they got some hell for. Is $1 billion, do you mean? Do you mean the fact that somebody didn't include the state-owned enterprises information in that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So you know, I wouldn't call it false, but if it was certainly trying to tell a story bent in the way that it wanted that story to be told. All right? But it never said that $1 billion was missing. That's how people read it and went off in La La Land with the story they wanted. This says they also expect inflation to grow significantly. That is not true, actually. I don't know what you mean by they, but the IMF did not say that they expect inflation to grow. In fact, they said they expect it to slow, but gradually. All right? So you got to read the information. Someone asked if the IMF does consultations with developed countries. And the answer is yes. So there is an IMF Article 4 consultation with for the United States of America, as it is for every other country. All right, so they do have Article 4 consultations for all countries that are a part of the IMF's system. All right, and so the Treasury of the Bahamas, in fact, I'm reading that would have indicated when the Treasury released its IMF Article 4 concluding remarks. All right, so that does happen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago, I'm your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. Walk this road together.
History has taught us that in crisis, humanity will always respond with innovation. What world-changing technologies will emerge from humanity's latest challenges? How can the Caribbean capitalize on the metaverse, blockchain, hybrid work, and more? Join us at the RF Economic Outlook Conference under the theme, Future Forces, World-Changing Ideas, where we will explore the future of work, investments, technology, and more. The journey begins on June 8th. Reserve your seat today at www.rfeoc.com.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We were talking about how the Bahamas is doing and where you get the information from. And, you know, one of the more significant points that I wanted to make about in doing this exercise was this. If we are going to live in the same space, we have to be able to agree on what reality is, like what's real, or, you know, at least what's agreeably real. And of course, any sensible and reasonable person should approach life with reasonable suspicion as well, right? Not paranoia, but suspicion. Like, just because somebody brings you information doesn't mean that you can't and shouldn't question the robustness of it, the credibility of it, the source of it, and that kind of thing, so that you can satisfy yourself that it can be relied upon. What a reasonable person will not do is suspect the information to be unreal or unreliable, and then start to act on the basis of that unreliability without any kinds of checks whatsoever. And so you have to be able to agree some things in common about what is going on. And so that means that there's some sources to look to for information. And this is why, like, departments of statistics exist, and this is why, say, a central bank exists. These are supposed to be independent entities governed by international standards to collect, collate, process, and publish information so that we can have an objective source of such information. That doesn't mean they're perfect, right? What it does mean, though, is as far as we're concerned, no one else is out there with a full dedicated staff of people and rules and standards to collect information. So we rely on them, because as far as we can tell, there is no one better equipped or resourced to do it. And they are, you can query that the next thing, as for instance, the IMF and NUM would do, have done over time. There was a time when the national accounts of the Bahamas, not all of those accounts were accepted by the IMF on those. But then they came in and had some developments take place to help boost the credibility of the information. And so now they rely on that information. So insofar as our ability to understand some things about what is happening in our country and our economy, I can tell you that the Bahamas Statistical Institute is a source for me, an abundance of information. Technically sound and professional people gathering this information every day without any political interference whatsoever. And it is a great source of data for not just people like me, but business people and researchers and the like. So it becomes a source of information that way. Similarly, the central bank and those. So we do have the ability to, get information and use that information for the purposes that we need. And so I don't think that we have to be operating in the dark in that way. All right, we can have some reasonable information, and that is essentially information that the world entities and agencies and so forth have been relying upon for many years to know and understand what is happening in the Bahamas. And it becomes something of an insult, my word, that you would have Bahamians who might not themselves find that information credible, all right? We have some text here, says, Mr. Lang, the minister, Mr. Lang, today marks 5 years since FNM1. Does the state of the pandemic and economy indicate perhaps the former administration should have waited on holding an election, or we may not be in this position if the former administration had remained until now? That's a very good question. Like, would we be in the same economic state we are in now had the former administration been in office? My own view is yes. Yes, because I don't know that there is any dramatic policy adjustment that is driving what is happening in our economy at this time. I don't know that to be case. Some people might argue that the relaxation of the pandemic measures may have boosted that somewhat. Hey, I can't really argue with that one way or the other. But we know the trajectory for the economy was as is now. We know that that is the case. This text says, core CPI, consumer price index in the U.S., in the USA, prices rose 8.5%, and you know we as a country are tied to U.S. economy. Well, yes, that's why the IMF is indicating we should see inflation around 6.5% or thereabouts. Stack says, and according to Forbes, high inflation isn't going away anytime soon. No, it's, the forecast that I have seen calls for you to see a reduction in inflation beginning next year and so forth. And so for the next couple of years leading into 2025, we'll get down about 2-3% by then. So not at the levels we're seeing now. Is there not an appetite for connecting at least one other island with New Providence with a consistent, reliable transportation system? If a bridge is too expensive, then a ferry with easy drive, walk on and off. In other countries, New York, for example, people live in New York, New Jersey, and work in Manhattan. Wouldn't connecting another island generate more businesses, jobs, economic activity, and more taxes? I can't say just because you have that it would. It could mean for Andras, for instance, more economic activity for them, that's for sure. It could mean that because you would have people from New Providence who would want maybe to go over there and spend a day. But just because you do that, you know, doesn't mean it would translate into economic activity in that in a significant way, but it could. But I can't say that just by looking at the question. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Smoke coming from your window.
Trev, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Trust and hope that you continue to do well. All right, so we've been asking the question, how's the Bahamas? From some of you, asked you where you got the information you get. Some of you told me where you get that information from. And largely, I think people think, I gather this from moving up and down too, that people think we're okay, right? I mean, and I think that people tend to think that relative to where we were in the pandemic, and they are seeing the tourists come back, they are themselves seeing more activity. And so I think any casual observation and even a look at the data would say we're certainly better off than where we were, and we seem to be on a reasonable trajectory, that's for sure. We are in a delicate situation for sure, but you know, we'll take this to where we were, because where we were was not a very good place. And so we got to keep hopeful, keep watching, and pray that nature don't send us no surprises, and that the pandemic doesn't take any unfortunate twists and so forth. All right. I'm sure you, like me, continue to watch with great curiosity and concern about the situation there in Exuma, what has happened, triumphant. Quite unfortunate situation for sure. We don't know very much, and so there's no point in speculating about anything. I'm waiting for the reports and waiting for the officials to give us the information. And I'm not interested in anybody's speculation about it because, you know, it's a circumstance that's very serious for the families involved, very serious for the island and the country. And so, you know, we wait. We wait to see what is happening. These are, you know, not this particular incident, but again, when you hear people say you live in an uncertain world, you live in an atmosphere where, you know, things can happen to throw you off stride. You know, these are kinds of things that represent those that kind of stuff. You kind of, you're moving along and then boom, you got some event take place. And then, you know, you just never know. And you're not always in control of everything. And this is one of the things that we have to learn on this planet. You know, we're not always in control. We don't always know what's happening. You know, we have to very often just respond appropriately when things happen beyond our control. And this is one of the challenges of small countries, one of the challenges of limited resources, you know, one of the challenges of living in an integrated international economic sphere. That's unsettling a lot of times for people. That's one of the things that causes people to have great anxiety, stress, disrupts relationships, because you're not in control, and that not being in control puts you in a very uncertain situation and what have you. And, you know, that can set you off kilter. And so you want to be able to respond in those circumstances the best way you can. And to some degree, when you look at Dorian, when you look at the pandemic, this is what the Bahamas faced. You know, you couldn't stop Dorian from coming. Couldn't stop it. You couldn't stop the pandemic. You know, we weren't able to. The only thing that could happen is, as a country, your leadership had to respond. Now, you and I, we can debate all day long how that response happened, whether it was the most effective way, et cetera. And that'll be a debate going on forever and forever and forever, because the truth of the matter is, ain't nobody know. No one knows. You can just make a judgment based on, you thought if this had happened, that would have happened, and so forth and so forth. But that's all it is. It's your judgment, your opinion, your view, my view, right? But in the end, we are relying on the wisdom, the skillfulness, the competence of our leadership to respond to these kinds of things. And Dorian and the pandemic, and they won't be the last, unfortunately, I think. We shall have others that we will have to respond to. And if we learn some lessons, then maybe we can respond more effectively the next time, because we'll have more information, we'll have more experience, and then we can do what we have to do in that way. But we certainly live in an uncertain world with many twists and many turns and many, many things that can challenge us from day to day and challenge us in the most significant of ways. But again, I tell people, like, you know, when it happens, when these things happen, your best bet, be calm, respond, don't react. In the heat of the moment, especially if the thing makes you riled up, shut your mouth, don't act, and wait for calm. Because calm is your friend. Calm helps you to see clearly, to think clearly, to not act in panic, and then you can make better judgments that way. And God knows, sometimes when the stakes are very high, you have to be able to make good judgments. You have to be able to make the best judgments so that you can get outcomes with which, one, you can at the very least live with, better yet, progress and be better off. Right? That's what's required. So, how are we doing? When you ask questions like that, a lot of times what happens is, like, and I know this to be the case from my own experience with it. You get people who will react to that question from a political point of view. So what you saying? You saying that the government ain't doing a good job? Oh, what you saying? They doing a good job? So you get that reaction from people, right? Because that's where they are. They are in this political mode, and everything is about, you know, whether something is against my party or for my party. And so, you know, you got people start to get a little antsy about it. I don't really give two hoots. Here's why. Because I'm not trying to ever answer those questions to help or to hurt anybody. You just try to get the best information you have, and you make a judgment and an assessment. That's all you can do. How people take it, that's on them, right? And when you live in small countries, you always know. You're living in a very politically sensitive environment, always. Man, let me tell you something. You could be at a family dinner and crab and grits and steamed jack. At some point, the conversation raises, and you got some members of your family who are one political party, some who are another political party, and how you talk about an issue will either infuriate some, satisfy others, or satisfy some and infuriate others, because that's the nature of the beast. I couldn't get less. I mean, I care that I don't want to upset you. I care that I don't want to offend you. But if we can have a dialogue using as objective a set of information as we have to tell us where we are, then, hey, man, forget it. That's not dialogue at all. Period. That's just because if the conversation we are going to have is purely about our opinions, hey, dude, what is that worth? If it's purely about my opinion or yours, like really in the end, if it's not fact or truth, what is that worth? It's only worth like a puff of air, right? It took me some time to learn that lessons, but I think I'm learning it now. Yeah, it's a puff of air if it's just my opinion, right? But if it's grounded and founded on some research and some evidence, some robust investigations and what have you, well, okay, then that's a little bit more than just my opinion. I can demonstrate or show you X, Y, and Z, and that will make a world to how we treat the discussion. But die in the ditch over an opinion? Not me no more. Like even my faith is for me not an opinion, but it is also not something I can impose on anybody or wish to do, because that's a very personal matter. And people have a right to take that on in a very personal way. So get as much information as you can and do with it as you please. This text is great, as usual. Shipping containers prices are doubling. That means food prices going up, so it's going to be rough, yeah? I heard that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, listen, y'all have a great, great evening. God bless. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.